Here to give both an overview as well as more detailed analysis of the findings are the National Agricultural Statistics Service Administrator, Joe Riley, and NAS Director of the Statistics Division, Hubert Hamer. While they're giving their presentations, we invite you to send us your suggested questions that you may have via Twitter so that while they are giving their presentations, we'll be able to pull some of those questions during our Q&A segment. First, we'll hear from Joe Riley, followed by Hubert Hamer. Gentlemen, thank you.
Well, thank you, Susan.
So we're starting off with you, and take it away.
Well, we're really glad to be here today, and I would like to take the opportunity just to give everyone just a little bit of history and background on the Census of Agriculture. First of all, the first Census of Agriculture was started back in 1840. It was done in conjunction with the population census at that time. And it continued through the early 1900s, being done every 10 years with the population census until it became on a five-year cycle. Now, 170 years later, we are doing the 28th Census of Agriculture, which is the fourth that is being conducted by USDA. The Census of Agriculture is also part of a bigger program, which is a series of censuses that covers all of the economic sectors of the country. So many of the key results from the census are used to help provide the foundation for determining what the gross domestic product is of the United States. Looking at the census and some of the results you're going to hear today, one of the key things we will be covering is information on farms. And it's important to know what is a farm as we define it. And the definition of a farm is any place or operation which would have produced $1,000 value of agricultural products or sold them during the census year, or normally would have sold them during the census year. And that same definition of $1,000 has been in place since 1974. Looking at how we go about conducting the census, we started back in December of 2012 with the data collection activities, and we mailed out a little bit over 3 million forms to all the potential farmers and ranchers from across the country. These forms were returned to the National Processing Center of the Census Bureau in Jeffersonville, Indiana, who we work in conjunction with to do the census activities. They do all the data capture, and then NAS takes over doing the data analysis and tabulation. We've worked tirelessly with community-based organizations and others trying to improve the overall coverage on this census, and we had a pretty good extensive media campaign trying to encourage farmers and ranchers to cooperate with us. And we were very happy with the results. We obtained a little bit over an 80% response rate on the Census of Agriculture. And we also looked at giving the modes of how we collect the data. The primary mode is, of course, mailing out a form and getting a form returned by mail. We also, if you don't return a form, we call you up over the phone. And if you don't answer the phone, we try to encourage you to respond over the internet, of which we were happy to report that we had about a 10% increase in internet reports this last time. And then when all else fails, we will send one of our enumerators out to visit the farmer and rancher in person trying to collect the information. And overall, at the end, we only really go out in person to about 1% of the farmers and ranchers across the country. And then, in closing, I really do want to take the opportunity to thank all the farmers and ranchers out there for their valuable time and providing us the information for this. It's really important for us, for the country, by having accurate and sound information to determine what the structure of agriculture is, what's changing, what trends are occurring, and how can policy be improved to make it even better in the future. So thank you.
Well, thank you for that background information. Now, Hubert, you're going to give us a little bit more detailed of what the findings were.
Absolutely. I'm pleased to and excited to be able to release the final results from the 2012 Census of Agriculture. We'll give you some of the key findings, the number of farms, land in farms, economic information, and also some demographic information. First, before we get into the actual numbers, I'd like to give a snapshot of the 2012 agricultural conditions. 2012 was not your typical year for doing a census because of some of the severe weather out in the central part of the United States. I'll draw your attention to this U.S. drought monitor from July 31st, 2012, and you'll see across the central part of the United States the most valuable agricultural land in the United States and the most productive, we had a severe drought. We also had some other extreme economic and environmental conditions and things happening in 2012. We had record corn prices, record soybean prices, record hay prices. We had extremely damaged pasture conditions across the United States. And we also had a depopulation, a significant depopulation of our cattle industry during that year. So not your typical year, but the numbers are what they are, and they reflect the 2012 agricultural season. Moving ahead, on the slides that follow, you will see an asterisk next to each item that is statistically significant. The change there being from 2007 to 2012. The measure of statistical significance is the difference between the two censuses of two or more standard errors. Now taking a look at some of the numbers, beginning this graphic highlights the number of land and farms in the United States. Farms at 2.1 million were indicated in the census. That's a 4.3% decline from 2007, or a 95,000 farm drop. Land and farms at 915,000 is down 0.8%. 7.6 million acres below what was indicated in 2007. And the average size of a farm at 434 acres is up 16 acres from 2007. I'll also indicate on this slide we have another measure, the coefficient of variation, that gives a data user a measure of the reliability of the numbers in the report. The lower the CV, the higher the reliability of the data point. Moving ahead, this next graphic highlights the number of farms for the last 30 years. You'll see a gentle slope across that time series, and comparing 2012 to 2007, again, we're indicating a 4.3% decline. Very stable over the last 20 years. Taking a look at the next slide, it shows the top 10 states in ranking, the number of farms comparing 2007 to 2012. Texas leads the way with nearly 249,000 farms, followed by Missouri with 99,000 farms, and down the line with Wisconsin rounding out the top 10 with nearly 70,000 farms. Moving ahead and taking a look at land and farms over the last 30 years, again showing a slight downward trend, comparing 2012 to 2007, 0.8% decline for this census. Over the last 30 years, we've lost more than 72 million acres. That's roughly a 7% decline over 30 years. And if you look at the last 20 years, you've seen that land and farms has been fairly stable. Moving ahead, let's take a look at land and farms as a percent of farms. The top bar indicates land. The second bar indicates farms. This graph shows that most farms are less than 180 acres, and most of the farmland is controlled by operations with more than 2,000 acres. Moving ahead and looking at the number of farms by commodity specialization, again, 2012 compared to 2007. Overall, I mentioned before that the number of farms are down, but for soybeans, wheat, corn, and vegetables, these commodities are showing an upward trend. Taking a look at livestock, we're seeing most of the livestock farms are down, except for goat and sheep and horse farms. This map looks at the percent of land and farms that's rented or leased for 2012. The darker the intensity of the blue, that indicates a higher percent of the acreage that is rented. At the U.S. level, we had a 39% acreage rental rate. And if you take a look across the United States, you'll see a high concentration of land that was rented in the Delta, Mississippi Delta region, the Midwest, and most of the major crop-producing areas. Taking a look, we have some new information on land use practices for 2012. The top half of the graph has information on tillage practices. The bottom half has conservation practices. Conventional tilling, the most popular at nearly 406,000 farms. That represents almost 106 million acres. Generally, you'll have some of the smaller producers participating in that practice. No-till with more than 278,000 farms participating in nearly 97,000 acres. Generally, the larger farms, in fact, we have about half of that being taken care of by operations with more than 1,000 acres. Taking ahead and moving down and looking at some of the conservation practices, tiling with nearly 218,000 farms, that represents nearly 49 million acres. And we've had a lot of interest in cover crops at more than 133,000 farms participating with cover crops, and that accounts for more than 10 million acres. Moving forward and taking a look at farms with renewable energy production, for 2012, we had more than 57,000 farms indicating the use of renewable production, more than double what was indicated in 2007. And we have new information on wind rights leased to others with more than 10,000 farms indicating the use of that practice. Now moving ahead and taking a look at renewable energy production for 2012, leading the way is solar panels. That is the dominant renewable technology with more than 36,000 farms indicating this technology, nearly four times the rate that geo-exchange systems are being used with slightly over 9,400 farms, and down to methane digesters with a little over 500 farms. Moving ahead and looking at farms with internet access, about 70% of the operators are indicating they have access. That's up 18% from 2007. Now taking a look at the most common access type, with DSL coming in about 40%, followed by satellite service, 19%. And unfortunately, we have nearly 140,000 operators still using dial-up service. For about 10% of the farm operators. Moving ahead and taking a look at some economic information, this graphic highlights the market value of agricultural products sold in 2012 as compared to 2007. Taking a look at the value of all ag products sold at $395 billion, showing a 33% increase. The value of crops sold at $212 billion is up nearly 48%. The value of livestock at $182 billion shows a 19% increase, and the average value per farm at a bit over $187,000 is showing a 39% increase. For the first time since 1974, crops had a larger percentage of the value of products sold, coming in at 54% of the total as compared to 46% for livestock. Moving ahead, this map highlights the value of agricultural products sold. One dot on this map represents $30 million, and the U.S. total I mentioned at $395 billion. Sales are concentrated in certain pockets across the United States, particularly the Midwest, the Mid-Atlantic area, and also California, which is the leading state. The next graphic highlights the top 10 states in value of production. Again, 2012 comparison to 2007. California continues to dominate with nearly $43 billion, showing a 26% increase, followed by Iowa at 30.8%, and down the line with Indiana rounding out the top 10 at $11.2 billion. Moving ahead and taking a look at the top 10 counties in the United States. This is all about California, with nine of the 10 counties being operated in the state of California. Fresno County by far is the dominant county with nearly $5 billion in agricultural products sold. That shows a 33% increase from 2007. Tulare County at $4 billion comes in second at $4 billion and showing a 20% increase. Interestingly enough, if you look at, you have 23 states across the United States with a value of sales less than Fresno County. The next graphic highlights the percent of total farms and sales for 2012. Looking at some of the interesting trends, you'll see that a few farms in the $2.5 million category and above has a tremendous percentage of the value of all ag products sold. In fact, 1.1% of the farms has more than 44% of all U.S. sales. All sales classes showed an increase with sales above $250,000. Moving ahead, this graphic highlights the value of sales by crop commodity, with corn leading the way at $67.2 billion, 17% of the U.S. total, followed by soybeans at $38.7 billion, or 10% of the total. Combined, these two commodities represent $106 billion, or 27% of the U.S. sales. And taking a look at all commodities showed an increase in value of sales, as indicated on this chart, that were significant, except for the nursery and greenhouse areas. Looking at the value of crops sold for 2012, again on this map, one dot equals $20 million, the U.S. total at $212 billion. Looking at the Midwest, we're highlighting the Midwest, the Southeast, and California as the dominant crop producing areas. Moving ahead and taking a look at sales by livestock commodity, cattle is the dominant commodity with more than $76 billion. Up 21% from 2007, followed by poultry and eggs at $43 billion, up 13%, and milk at $36 billion, showing an 11% increase from 2007. Moving ahead, this next map depicts the value of livestock, poultry, and their products sold for 2012. One dot, $20 million. And $182 billion, the U.S. total. Most of the sales are in the Midwest, the Southern Plains, Southeast, and here's California again. Looking at farm income and expenses, basically the agriculture balance sheet, total value of products sold at $395 billion, up 33%. Government payments, very steady. Farm-related income, up 77%. And the value of production expenditures, I want to contrast production expenditures with the value of ag products sold. It comes in at 36.4% above the prior census. That indicates it is rising at a higher rate than the value of ag products sold. Moving ahead and taking a look at the top 10 production expenditures, the leading expenditure at $76 billion is feed, up 54.2% from 2007, and that represents 23% of the total, closely followed by non-breeding livestock at $37.2 billion, up 8% from 2007, and that is an 11% share of the total. Agricultural input costs were up significantly higher for crop-producing areas. I'll also highlight seed, up 66%, and chemicals, up 63.4% from 2007. Moving ahead and taking a look at organic agriculture, organic production resulted in $3.1 billion in sales. 5,700 farms represent 97% of the organic sales. Organic sales at $3.1 billion is 0.8% of the U.S. value of sales. Moving ahead and taking a look at direct sales to consumers, I mentioned overall that the number of farms are down, but those farms selling direct to consumers is up 5.6%. So the value of this industry is at $1.3 billion in value. We also have information on community-supported agriculture with nearly 13,000 farms being involved. And we also have new information on products sold directly to retailers with more than 49,000 farms participating with retailers. This next map highlights the value of agricultural products sold directly to individuals for home consumption in 2012. One dot on this map represents $200,000 in sales, and I mentioned the $1.3 billion in sales. Sales are generally concentrated in near large metropolitan areas, up the Northeast Corridor, and also out in California as well. Moving ahead, we'll take a look at some of the demographic information. This first slide takes a global look at all operators, comparing 2012 to 2007. On the data collection instrument, we collect detailed information for three producers, the senior partner, and two additional partners. Taking a look at all operators at 3.2 million operators, that's down 3.1% from 2007. And seven female operators at nearly 970,000 are representing about 30% of all operators. The second operator at 328,000 represent 29% of the farmers. And finally, the third and youngest producer, a little over nearly 143,000 of those represents 4% of the total operators. Moving ahead and taking a look at the average age of the principal operator, you'll see a fairly steep incline across the last 30 years, with 58.3 years of age being indicated for 2012. That's up 1.2 years from the last census. We basically end up averaging about a one-year increase for each census cycle. Moving ahead and taking a look at some of the characteristics of the principal, the second, and the third operators for 2012, a couple of observations I'd like to make. The principal operator is generally male, and the second operator is more likely female, and generally about two-thirds of the time is the spouse of the principal operator. Some additional characteristics. The second and third operators have less time on the farm. And when considering age, the second and third operator are younger, especially those under 35. When comparing the third operator to all operators, they're about 10 years younger. And if you compare them to the principal operator, they're more than 12 years younger than the principal operator. Taking a look at farms by race and ethnic origin, all racial and ethnic farm groups increased from the 2007 results, highlighted by a 21% increase in Latino producers, a 22% increase in Asian operators, 9% increases for American Indians and Black and African American farmers. Moving ahead, the next graphic highlights access to the internet. We had gains across the board, but had larger gains in the Asian American, the Asian community and the Black or African American communities. Now taking a look at beginning farmers. Beginning farmers are identified as operators who have not farmed or who have not farmed for 10 consecutive years. Those being on the farm more than 10 years are indicated at 469,000, down 20% from 2007, and those operators being on the farm for less than 5 years are indicated at nearly 172,000, or down 23% from the prior census. Moving ahead and taking a look at the percentage of the total years on farm by age of the principal operator, this graphic basically highlights new farmers by age. Taking a look at the graphic, you'll notice that four out of the six age categories are indicating an increase. Those less than 25 years of age, those in the 25-year to 34-year category, and those ranchers, farmers and ranchers above the age of 55. Taking a look, also, obviously, all of the information that we're releasing today is available on our website. We also have a toll-free line for you to call if you need some additional information or support. Moving ahead, future census products, we have a number of products that will be released later in 2014. Followed quickly, the state and county profiles in May, the Puerto Rico Census of Agriculture in June, down through watershed information in November, and a number of other products. Moving ahead, we have two additional supplemental surveys that will be released later this year. The Census of Aquaculture will be released in September. The Farm and Ranch Irrigation Survey will be released in October. The next series of slides highlights the top producing counties with a number of different commodities. I'll pan through these very quickly. You'll see the top orchard county is Fresno County, California. The top vegetable county, Monterey County, California. The top peanut county, Decatur County, Georgia. The top rice county is located in California, along with four out of the top five. Arkansas is the other. Arkansas County brings along Arkansas, which is the largest rice-producing state in the United States. Moving ahead, wheat, the top county is in Washington State. Cotton, the largest county again, Fresno County, California. Cass County, North Dakota, is the largest soybean county. Top corn county is located in the great state of Iowa. Top layer county, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. The top hog county, Duplin County, North Carolina. Top beef cow county, located in Nebraska. The top milk cow county is in California, again, with four out of the five are also located in California, with Idaho bringing up the fourth position. Moving ahead, the top broiler county is Sussex County, Delaware. The top goat county is Sutton County, Texas. The top sheep county, Weld County, Colorado. Blueberries, the top blueberry county, Van Buren County, Michigan. Top sweet corn county is located in the state of Washington. Top apple county, Yakima County, Washington. The top pecan county is located in New Mexico. And the top mushroom county is Chester County, Pennsylvania. So that's a snapshot of the 2012 Census of Agriculture.